Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
Wednesday morning. Feels like a Monday, but today we are discussing the relationship dilemma. It's a topic we did not get to on our last show, which was on Friday. So we had so many callers, which is great, but we're going to start the show today with our conversation, continuing what we started last Wednesday. So callers in the queue, want to let you know that we'll be getting to you in a little bit, but please do keep your place in the queue because it makes it easier to take callers if you don't, you know, hang up and call back. Keep your order and we will keep the integrity of the order too. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number, 562-596-7818, the number to call after the show if you have further questions. And join us on Facebook, join us on Twitter. Those accounts linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile. You can follow us here on Blog Talk Radio as well. But relationships. So I'm not sure where we left off, Neil, on Wednesday, but we were talking about the common goal of many of the people we speak to about acquiring a relationship. Yeah. And the necessity of a relationship for transcendence, which in most cases, to transcend the planet, you don't need a relationship. However, being in a partnership, a romantic partnership, is satisfying and, you know, obviously a desire that a lot of people want fulfilled.
Exactly. I mean, the baseline, the dilemma of relationships, I think it's a multi-layered conception, if you will, literally, because when we look at the basis of relationships, first of all, it's for procreation, to produce, and then there is the attitude that when two people produce a child or an offspring of some sort, then you also have the idea that there's a unit that's involved in the security of that individual, even in nature. Basically, there are some animal species that where the female typically just raises the offspring, and the male goes off. A lot of bears and a lot of the mammals.
That happens here too.
In human form too. But the basis of a relationship first is the draw of procreation. But not at all in all instances. Sometimes the male just has an urge, a sexual urge, and so it gets into that sexual urge. The woman comes from the need to have a child. I mean, a woman can have a sexual urge, but the woman has a need to have a child.
But
the male doesn't necessarily go to the female thinking, I'm going to give this female a child. The male just goes to the female thinking, I'm going to get satisfied. So as we rise higher in the animal kingdom, we get more into a sophistication of definition in terms of what merits and what constitutes a relationship.
Right, and so in certain animal species, there are animals that mate for life, actually. So I mean, you have the what you're talking about, which, you know, maybe there's a division at the time of after procreation occurs. But there's the species that are together for a lifetime.
Yeah, and you know, in human terms, there's great care and great tenderness, even among animals, sacrifice. It's just not instinct. There seems to be a real connection, love connection, even among animals. When we get into the idea of relationship, we run into all kinds of problems on the human level. There are human beings who really don't want a relationship other than just sex. There are human beings who want a relationship excluding sex. There are human beings who want a relationship to raise a family. There are human beings who want a relationship just to have company. There are human beings who want a relationship to get their green card. We have all different kinds of ways that a relationship is formed. Some people just want to go into business with their partner. Other people think this is a spiritual unit and we're going to transcend into a higher realm. There are so many different varieties when the brain occupies so many different areas that it's almost challenging to be advanced in brain form, because now there are multiple reasons why we are in relationships, and some of them even get to be psychological. We're insecure.
Right. Upbringing, and we're bonding with somebody because we're trying to fill the void that.
And then we get into codependency and all kinds of things. So what does it all mean in the big scope of psychic energy, numerology, soulmates? I mean, how do we define this great spectrum of definitions in terms of what constitutes a relationship under the heading of the grand master plan, which I think is almost impossible to explain, because we have to think, when we think of union, we have to think of first division. So you can't have a union without a division first. So this idea of oneness, or this idea of male and female coming together, or female and female, male and male, is the idea that there's a split. And that doesn't mean to say that each individual is a total unit unto him or herself. But when we're talking, after all, about relationships, and it doesn't mean that two people can't be in a relationship and be separate units as well. We're not challenging that stage. All we're saying is that when you're in a relationship, there is a coming together on some form, and where did that split occur? Well, I guess you can go back to the fables and the stories of the Bible or whatever. Adam and Eve, you can just imagine that because of the biological stance of who we are as male and female, that you need to put one and one together to make three, and thereby continue the human race. So the idea as to what gets confused in that can somewhat be determined by our own individual energy, our karma. Our birth dates. The secret code therein.
Right, because, sometimes the people we encounter in our lives are karmic individuals, that there needs to be resolution. There needs to be something resolved in the relationship for the reasons of resolution of karma. And so we're thrust together with people that may not be ultimately a transcendent person, but there's the necessity of resolving those karmic issues.
This grand diversity and somewhat division within the division itself, we can look at it in the crude aspect of numbers, why a master 3 might be with a master 7, or a master 2 might be with a master 5. I don't mean master or mistress, I just mean the
master numbers.
So the idea here is, how do we combine our energies? If one of us, when we come to a relationship as equal souls, does that mean we have equal talents, or that we have equal capabilities? It's fair to say that sometimes a unionized couple, one complements the other, one upholds the other. So we sort of come together in these jagged pieces. They're not always uniform in structure, and they have a perfect fit. Sometimes the fit is ill-fitting. But yet, at the same time, that ill-fitting energy, I think, is part of the dynamic of life itself, because our life isn't uniform. We're born and we die. We have these jagged edges that don't have really full circumference. After all, most of us, if we're lucky, we're on the planet about 85 years, more or less, and then it's over in terms of the physicality of our
world.
If
we're lucky to live that long of a lifespan.
Some
but you're
shorter,
saying those, those irregular parts can fit together in a union to make a whole, as much as a whole can be made on the physical plane.
As much as it can be, because the wholeness of life is somewhat subjective. I mean, some people at their deathbed will say, I didn't do enough. I didn't. Some people will say, you know, I had a full life. Well, what is a full life? It's hard to determine what a full life is. You know, some people might say, well, what is a full life? I met my love partner. I had a family. We had children. We had grandchildren. We had a home. We had a wonderful business. We traveled. You know, is that's a full life? Yeah, I guess on a physical level.
Physical level.
What is a full life when someone is about to leave the planet? What are our actions, and how do they constitute such a concrete variety of activities that now it's something we carry with us other than just something we have as a last memory? You know, some of us think, well, when we die, we'll go to heaven and we'll be sitting in our rocking chairs and we'll meet our loved ones. I know Chris and I, for one, we don't really believe that the afterlife is just a continuation of the physical life and you just don't die. So you're forever, you know, smoking a pipe on the front porch. That's not really what this is about. We're talking about the vibrational intensity of a relationship, which gets into a matter that is beyond the pure physicality of what it is to share your life with somebody. We're talking about the tools of the spirit, the soul, and the higher aspects of what that actually means. Sure, it's important to share your life with somebody and to be in love and to do the things that are pleasurable upon the earth. But when we're talking about the matters of what constitutes a relationship,
it's not a, life is not a series of activities. When we get into the spiritual context, what is required for transcendence?
Yeah, I mean, the record, it's true. The record that we actually leave is somewhat contingent on not just our actions on a linear world, because that we'll be leaving. We all see we leave the planet. We all leave the earth. So where do we go after that? Now, in a relationship, that's what you have to consider. Where does your relationship with your loved one takes you after the physical breath has expired, after it's done? Where does that energy go? Well, that's a great rhetorical question. We don't really know. We can surmise and we can try to analyze it and visualize it. But the true essence of the soul and the spirit is something that I think in a good, healthy relationship, every human being has to take into account, unless they're just here for having a good time and just having a linear life, and that's the basis of it. But when what we encounter, particularly on this show, is people trying to seek, where is my loved one? Will I find my loved one? Do you see that person coming? When will that person come? These are very important questions, but they don't really answer the ultimate question as to why that loved one is coming. What is your purpose on the earth? And how does a relationship fit into the purpose that you have on this planet? Those are the main reasons beyond just the sheer fact that you're trying to find somebody so you can be happy.
Well, I think the pursuit of satisfaction can be very misleading when it comes to, you know, really getting into the true nature of why people are here on the planet. So people get very distracted by that search for pleasure. And
not only that, but
fulfillment on a purely physical level.
I mean, yes. And people who are very much in love, so impassioned, end up 5 years later in divorce court, swearing at each other.
I know. Thinking about, you know, just, you know, reviewing the topic and thinking about relationships that, you know, looked like they were such a romantic match. And then, you know, the person ends up cheating on the other person. You know, 3 years into the marriage or whatever it may be.
With lawsuits. I mean, you know, romance is overrated and the passion of love is overrated. They're important, but they're overrated because when you look at the statistics, I mean, there are many people who are impassioned and they're in love and enraptured and they're that way until as a couple, they live and die with those feelings. And then there are those couples who through strife and controversy and challenges stay together and end up to their dying day loving one another and being bonded to one another. But the idea that we have to learn ultimately when we enter a relationship, we have to look at it with a very sound sense of security, of spirituality, the soul. Because I think when two people come to a marriage beyond just the scope of the excitement of being enraptured with somebody that you feel you're in love with, that doesn't tend to hold a long period of time, unless you're lucky, unless you're lucky. But when you look at the deep sense of who you are as an individual and what you're made of and where your commitments and integrity lie, and if the, your soulmate is likewise feeling that so weak, you can't go wrong. You're going to stick together through thick and thin, unless, of course, there's some kind of karma that gets in the way of things. Somebody dies or it's just meant to be that there's a split up. But we can't enter a relationship, or we shouldn't enter a relationship under the assumption that it's going to break up or that love will wane and leave. Sometimes it's healthy to leave. We're not saying that divorce and such things aren't legitimate and that it's healthier to part than it is to stay. But what we're saying is that initially in a relationship, when we talk about the dilemma of a relationship, what we're talking about is not so much the dilemma, but the seriousness of what brings two people together. And under that context, I think we just begin to brush against the very surface of what it is to be in love and to maintain that love.
All right, Neil, let's take some callers, shall we? Okay, everybody, here we go. First caller, 919. It's a long number.
Yeah, hello? Maybe.
Hi, you're calling from perhaps outside of the United States. Where are you calling from? Who's
yeah.
this? What's your name?
I'm calling from India.
And who's this?
Anshul.
How do you spell your name?
A-N-S-H-U-L.
Anshul. And
yeah.
Okay, could we get your birth date starting with the month, the day, and the year? I know you say it differently than we do, but we'll start with the month of birth,
yeah.
the day of birth, and the year, please.
It's 6/20/73.
June 20th, 1973.
Yeah.
That's right, June 20th, 1973.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
28/10/1.
June 20th, 1973.
And Anshul, what's the reason for your call? It's 42.
I would like to understand our guidance on what's the relationship with my wife. I mean,
well,
we have been married for the last 16 years now.
16 years you've been married?
Yeah.
Okay, and so what is your wife's birth date, please?
Her birth date is 12/20/73.
Wow. Born on the same day, 20th. And she is... Six. Huh? Did I add that up wrong? Oh, it says she's a 7, 25/7. Yes, I did add it up wrong. Okay, and you were married 16 years ago, which was in 2001. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
2001 married. Okay, and so you're wanting guidance. Is there a problem, or are you just seeking more insight into the connection?
Yeah, more insight into it, not problem.
Yeah. Anshul, do you have, well, I'm not sure if it's two or three children, but how many children do you have if you have children?
Yeah, we have two.
Yeah. Part of, you know, what's interesting about the numerology between yourself and your wife is that your master number, Anshul, is a 1. It's based upon a reduction of 28 equals 10 equals 1. Your wife is a seven. Mm-hmm. Seven and one equals mm-hmm. eight. And that number actually is in your first two numbers added together, assuming that we add the month first, six and two.
Mm-hmm.
So part of your connection to your wife on a more spiritual level was that the two of you had to be joined together in order to have these children. Now, part of that is a sort of karmic situation for yourself. So one of the reasons that the two of you were joined together or to have these children. Now, I may be wrong. It won't matter really if I'm wrong, but is one a boy and one a girl?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, does the boy seem to have any talent for mathematics?
Yeah, he does have.
And do you have any talent or interest in mathematics?
By education, I am an engineer, but I really don't have interest in mathematics.
But he's an engineer. That
yeah.
requires mathematical
yeah.
skills. So whether or not you're interested,
yeah.
it sounds like you went through math.
There's a great...
greater math education
yeah.
than me, for instance.
Yeah. There's a great deeper meaning behind your connection with your wife, because one of the deep meanings was to give birth to your son. Because your son had to come onto the planet. And your son had to come onto the planet through your seed and through the conception with your wife, where there is a karmic and a past life connection. So first of all, there's a sort of, I don't want to diminish or minimize your daughter. She's
yeah,
very
I was going
to
ask.
No, we'll get to her in
yeah.
a second. But around your son, there's a great, I feel a great glowing energy of something to occur later in life.
Wow.
Now,
do we have a birthday? Mm-hmm. Can we get the birth dates for the son and daughter? Real quick.
Yeah, my daughter's birth date is 03-26-2004.
Okay. And the son?
And my son is... It's 10-11-2007.
Okay. Go on, Neil. I'll add these
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you
5,
see,
11,
with 13, your daughter. 14,
16, 17. Wow, they're this master number. She's a 17-8, right?
Yeah.
So that's the master number of you and your wife, 1-7 equals 8.
3-26-2004.
Did I add that up right? 11, 13, 14. 16,
17.
17 yeah.
8, yeah.
That's the two master numbers together.
And, yeah, that's the daughter.
3, 4,
and then,
5.
And then the son
and
is.
And he's a 12-3.
12-3.
Which is the wife's month.
Yeah. The daughter is actually, the day the daughter was born is actually, Anshan, your first two numbers, 6-2, just inverted.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughter's master number is the same as the combination of your number with your wife. Now, that's to say that there's a certain aspect of some sense. Your children are going to be very powerful, I think, and very blessed. I think you're going to be very happy as you see them grow up. I think with your wife, there was this commanding need to have children. It may be cultural, you know, there may be, that's just the way the culture is. But beyond that, on a deeper level, there was that demand. Now, that doesn't suggest that there can't be discrepancies in the relationship. You know, maybe you don't feel that way. Maybe you feel there's somewhat, maybe other kinds of problems in the relationship. But I just think, Anshan, that that's normal. I think that in all general purposes, there is this greater design going on in your family unit. Let me ask you something else. Would you say that your daughter is at all talented in dance or music?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, your answers are positive, a little bit reluctant, but positive. But, you know, I don't know if this helps to address some of the questions that you're asking us, if this is approaching some of what you're seeking?
There's one aspect which I would like to have guidance on, is like in our relationship with my wife, we are two different human beings, that's true. But when it comes to a spiritual aspect, I think that we are two different people. In that way, we don't think in the similar manner. So I just want to understand how I am contributing to her or she is contributing to me.
So spiritually, they're saying they're kind of divided.
I'll tell you something. Your number six in your month is the third eye. It's the mystical quality, the higher element. Your wife may be more down earth. She may not reach the mystical essence. There might be religion in your wife, but there might be lacking a kind of mystical yearning for knowledge that you may have yourself that doesn't necessarily coincide with your wife.
Yeah,
is
I was thinking
true?
She would probably not be calling our show.
Well,
maybe not.
Yeah.
And sometimes it, you know, we don't always have the perfect union with our mates. It doesn't always work out that way. What you must do is not so much fight the war to bring your wife to your level of thinking, but to maintain your level of thinking and to keep it sacred within yourself and to make sure that it doesn't become a confusing factor that your wife would otherwise hinder.
Yeah, true.
I just want to ask what part of India he's from, just out of curiosity. What part of India are you calling from?
I am calling from the western part of the country.
Western part? Okay.
Yeah,
we love India. We have a great fondness for it.
Yeah, and I've been cooking. I've been making a lot of Indian food. More southern Indian stuff. And it's been pretty good, I have to admit.
Yeah. So I would say to embrace your mysticism, embrace your spirituality. Don't concern yourself whether your wife matches your level. I you know, her journey is different than yours.
I mean, she should be on. I mean, she's a seven, so maybe there will be some kind of shift.
Well,
along
her
the
karma,
way.
The karma of her 1-2-2 is
pulling
really,
her back.
She gets
that.
More practical.
Yeah.
In fact, your wife could almost shatter your sense of mysticism by her practicality. So I would probably try to stay out of those issues with her so that your own sense of spirituality remains yours.
Something else I just wanted to point out before we move on to the next caller, that both of the children hold the master numbers of the parents. So the 1-7, the daughter is a 17-8, but the sons, Alpha and Omega, actually are 1-7. So it's interesting that you're talking about the parents bringing the children into the world and the fact that they're, you know, the necessity of it.
Yeah, and the boy does have the same, his master, 12 equals 3. 12 is the wife's month.
It's the... Oh, yeah, 12-3, and the daughter's month.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of connections.
A lot of stuff in there. But, you know, a highlight here, Anshan, is your own spiritual sense of being. Keep that intact.
Okay, Anshan, we have to move on to other callers. But
thanks a lot. It was a good insight.
Take care. And Anshan can follow us on Blog Talk Radio or on Facebook. We'd love it if you join us. 217.
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
Hi. This is Shanna.
Shanna?
Yes.
Shanna?
Yes.
Okay. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Illinois, Central Illinois.
Okay. And what's your birth date?
It is July 31st, 1977.
Okay. What brings you to the show?
Oh, I just found your, I was just listening. It's really interesting. And so I'm just, I guess, calling to see about me and the relationship I'm in and how we're matched with the numbers.
And you're turning 40 this year.
Yes,
right?
I am. Yes.
Okay. 40, it's a big year.
Yeah.
And she's in a relationship?
Yeah, are you in a relationship?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'll get the birth date.
What's the birth date of the person you're in a relationship with?
August 30th, 1970.
Interesting. Well, your karmic sides, first of all, are both 11, too. 8-3 and 7-3-1 are both an 11. But what's his master in 21? 28-10-1. And there are 9 together. Okay.
Does this... The other person, had they been through a divorce or their parents divorced?
His parents are not divorced, but he has been through a divorce.
Yeah. That was my first question, if he's been in divorced.
Yes.
So, and have you been basically non-divorced in your life?
I've never been married.
Yeah. So non-divorced. So
yes.
You have your connection to your partner here is actually, in my mind, coming from a lifetime, 2 lifetimes previous to this one. Now,
wow.
we're getting a little bit into fanciful thinking here and more into the imaginary scope of analyzing a person's life. But nonetheless, I think that your connection with this person occurred not in the past life, but in the one before that. So that might be sometime in the 1800s. There's
wow.
something, there's just something that's striking me about that. Is there any particular interest that either of you have for things of the 1800s, 17th century or anything?
Actually, I just had a class in Chicago, and I'm definitely more spiritual than he is. He's more grounded, foundational, little small town church, and I'm kind of expanding out of that right now. But I had a flashback of being in the, like, 1800s with the group I was with, and I don't really know much about past lives, but
About the 1800s, how did that come about, Shanna?
What's that?
How did that manifest, that thought about the 1800s?
We had gone into our Akashic Records with a group in Chicago, and we were doing a meditation, and she just said to pay attention to our images, and when I opened my eyes, and I don't really believe too much in past lives. I mean, I've had a few people say things to me about it, but I opened my eyes and everybody around me was in colonial-looking clothes. Like, we had all known each other in another life, and now here we were together. And it was like a movie,
wow.
Like I was watching a movie.
Weird.
And it was like, one of them was the priest, one of them the one that persecuted. I felt like it was more like Salem times, or like I got that kind of flash, like it was like witch hunting times or the Crusades or something. Yeah. And then we also, like, know your familiarity with each other, like we'd known each other forever. Like we just all kind of connected at that group. So
yeah.
It was really interesting. Never had anything experienced.
So Shanna, you know, we don't know
Shanna.
You. Shanna. So we don't know you, and we're coming up with this uniform agreement. So it's kind of weird and mystical, but I think it helps to validate the essence of where this past life came from. Don't forget, your month and day and his month and day both add up to 11.
And those are the 2 past lives.
Yeah.
They represent the 2
that's
past
where
lives.
It comes from.
Yeah.
And then your years
oh, wow.
are interchangeable. Your years are interchangeable. 7-7 becomes 70.
They align
and
as
7-0
well.
7-0 become, yeah, they're aligned.
2.
Become 70.
Both.
Your master numbers become a 9.
They're both. They're interchangeable and aligned. So if you
mm-hmm.
line up the years on top of each other, they become each other's years. And if you put an X between them, the same thing happens. So
yeah. Now the idea of the you know, the Quakers and everything, and the Salem, the witch hunts. It almost equates to, from the past life, in this lifetime, your partner's sense of small town religion and more grounded and more practical, and then your idea that you're sort of branching into more of the mystical, metaphysical elements of spirit. Not that religion doesn't hold mystical and metaphysical elements, but definitely conventional religion isn't going to talk about chakras and past lives and, you know, that kind of thing. It's going to seem too occult to the mind and too witchy. So, you know, in that regard,
we kind of have our thing. He's worried about it being witchy. Yeah, what I can do.
Well, you know, I mean, we aren't witches and we aren't warlocks and we aren't anything like that, Chris and I. We're just spiritual beings.
Exactly.
But, you know, Wicca and all that, it was an earth nature religion, and the deities and were nature gods and goddesses and whatnot. It became paganistic over time, but essentially that's not the core issue of what witchcraft is, and we're not here to talk about witchcraft. We're not witches by any means, and we don't advocate it, but when you look at the history of the, it's the worship of nature, which it takes on a whole different connotation, and then it gets into a very political aspect and a literal reading of the Bible, which kind of contorts things. But even Christ himself used very natural things that would seem kind of witchy back then. And he would pick up sand and spit on it and put it over a person's eyes, and they would see. He did a lot of crazy things.
But the thing about witchcraft is it kind of erases the whole idea of a higher power. It's a worship of the earth, essentially, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am a Christian, and I have struggled with my gifts, and I'm just now walking into them. But I'm just going to stay who I am. And so I taught him a lot of things, like, and tried to get him to come outside the box, but I don't push it, and he respects me. But, I mean, it's a thing that I have to, like, I feel like I have to teach him, like, just come out of that judgment.
Well, you know, is he Christian too, Shanna?
Yes.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, I was raised Catholic. And so, you know, coming into learning about past lives, I didn't, before I got into this field, I was dubious. I mean, it was interesting to me, but it was more like, you know, fanciful thinking that I didn't buy into. But, you know, the more I learn about past lives, my own past lives, the past lives of the people that we encounter, the more it makes sense, you know. So it's a difficult thing to rationalize when you've been so enmeshed in a certain way of thinking. I mean, Christianity does not take into account past lives, but look at the Bible. Bible talks about past lives. What's that passage?
You can construe or maybe perhaps misconstrue the passages that are written in the Bible, but aside from that, the core issue here is about the 1800s. That's more than coincidental.
Wow.
That is.
It's interesting.
Go ahead.
His wife also passed away. He had gotten married again, and his wife had passed away. And I just had, when my dad passed away, I started being able to hear the other side very well. So I heard her come to me, and I didn't even know him. I knew of him. He's like, lives like an hour away and had mutual friends, but I was like, I don't want them talking about me and saying I'm crazy, and she kept being persistent. So eventually I said, okay, if you want me to give him this message and put us in the same room, and we don't really hang in the same circles. And so she did put us in the same room, and I was really nervous. I was afraid he'd tell other people and then people would make fun of me or talk about me. And so I felt like God really wanted me to relay the message that she had for him. So I gave him the message from her and figured he'd probably never talk to me again. And then, like, our relationship, we've been together for about 8 months now. So
that's
kind of how we met up.
That's his month.
Yeah.
What's that?
And her number. he's calling at the 8 month mark, you're an eight, and he's born in the 8th month. So.
Yeah, and you're what, 43?
He's 40.
No,
going to be 40. I'm 39.
You're going to be 40.
He's 46.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Well.
Which is.
The
39 and 46.
For you, 42, the age of 42, 43 is going to be a big change for you.
4, 5, 6.
Okay.
And if you're with this person at that point in time, there might be something very, very, very deep going on. There, just real quickly, there is a issue of real estate that's going to come up between the two of you, whether you decide to buy or whether you move. But there seems to be some issue around the home itself.
Okay.
So that might be coming up. Are you living in an apartment now or a house?
I live by myself in a place I rent. And he lives about 40 minutes away on a farm. And that in a house he owns.
Do you have a desire to want to own your own home?
I do. I mean, I have the goals of owning my own place eventually, yeah.
Okay, so right around 42, 43, that might be possible. But I will say this, and we're kind of getting off track. You're going to have to change your job for that to happen.
What do you know what she's doing?
No, I don't know what
do you do, Shanna?
I do hair out of my house now, and we live about an hour away. And then I do that, but I'm really feeling pushed to go into mediumship. I did my first mediumship with a group this past Sunday. So I feel like I'm getting called into mediumship.
What does he do?
He is a farmer. He's a grain and bean, or he's a corn and bean farmer.
The farmer and the medium. Could be a TV series.
Yeah, well, he's master.
Really could be.
His master number
exactly.
is one,
well,
which is Earth. So,
yeah.
Together you make a nine.
What kind of farming? Like vegetables or livestock
he just does corn and beans.
Corn and beans.
Yep.
You like vegetarian.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I do see you being elevated into a higher place in about 2-3 years. So maybe you can continue. I don't know, Illinois, how they deal with mediumships and whatnot. There's a book out now with There's a book out now with Abraham Lincoln in it called Lincoln in the Barbo that is about Lincoln visiting his dead son between lifetimes. So you might want to take a look at that.
Absolutely.
It's a fiction book. But, I'm just mentioning that because you're in Illinois. And it's an interesting book because it deals with Lincoln visiting the graveyard of his dead son, and all the people in the graveyard are talking, and there are various places throughout the book. Lincoln and the Barbo, I think.
Bardo.
It's a mystical term for the life between lifetimes. So, anyways, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Shanna.
You guys have a great. Do you guys see us like working out though? Like, do those numbers coincide working out?
Well, they're 18 together, which is a nine. I mean, that's a nice attitude of endurance and transcendence. There could be,
if somebody challenges, I can't say they're going to work out. You guys are very much challenged. You have a karma together. The karma together has resulted in a past life, has resulted in the two of you coming back to work
some
things out.
But it's possible if they're able to, stay on a higher track that things could be worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the master numbers together are a good combination for sure.
You can always call back to the show or you can do a private reading, it's all up to you, but
idea of going, getting into this deeper requires a little bit more
investigation
than
a radio show can accommodate.
That's fine. I appreciate the information you guys gave, and I hope you guys have a blessed day. Thank you very much.
You too, Shanna. Thanks for finding us. And Shanna can join us on Facebook and on Blog Talk Radio as well, 562-596-7818. And we have another caller. We lost several people today. I guess they get impatient when they're not next. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Oh, good. Thank you. I wanted to ask you if you saw Tucum carry around me at all. And then we're talking about relationships. So I'm like, well, do I throw out my relationship numbers, birth date numbers between Chris and I, or do you see Tucum carry around me? I don't know. Or maybe both.
What? We didn't get the first part of what you said.
Well,
no,
I'm looking at like something that going on in Tucum carry, like potentially a property. And I'm just,
sure
about.
You want to focus on the property or on the relationship, one or the other?
Yeah, I would the property. It's just you guys were on that topic, so I'm like, oh, is that where we go? But, yeah, I would rather look at the numbers, like, of the property. Like,
okay, what are the numbers of the property?
So it's 1215 East Tucum Carey Boulevard, 1215.
East what?
Yeah, but it's on Route 66. They actually use Route 66 as the address.
56789. Well, I mean, the address, I mean, we'd have to work up the letters and all that. So, I mean, we can look at the numbers of the property. It's a 9.
Yeah, 1215.
What's your master number?
4.
No, it's your master number. 1215 is a 9, which your 36 equals 9. So the property itself matches your master number, which is significant. What kind of property is this?
It's an old hotel, like from the 40s or 1930s. And the owner got sick and he just wants out to return home. And I'm just, it's kind of like a declining economy and declining. You know, it's a nostalgic area, but it's declining, and just not sure.
Would you have to renovate the property? Is it like used? I mean, so it's an old hotel, or is it being used right now as a hotel?
Yeah.
Or is it just, so it's
yeah,
being,
it's used. There's like people there. There's like 30 rooms, and there's like 7 people that have been there for 3, 4, even 9 years. And one of the gals that have been there 9 years would take over actually as manager. I just
so it's like
to
a residential motel? It's not like people actually live there for years and years?
Yeah, well, he got sick and just shut everything down. But it can be. I mean, as far as renovation, that's something you don't really even do. That's the nostalgic part of it. You know, the neon lights, like Vegas. It's so you renovate as far as, maybe painting and updating some stuff. But that's just a part of town where it's a lot of murals, hundreds of them, and you kind of retain that history of the Route 66. So, but it is being used. He has been
long-term
sick,
residence,
so he's,
in it. So it's kind of like a lower income. I mean, if people are living in a hotel room, it's kind of like designed for like a lower cost hotel. Like, what are the rooms for right now? At that?
Yeah, I mean, they're like $450. You've also got a college in town. There is a college there with 1,100 people. The town's only got like slightly under 6,000 people. So, I mean,
So
what's going on, Cheryl, is that the number 1215, when you put 1, 2 together, it's a 3. And when you put 1, 5 together, it's a 6. So not only does it add up to 9, it adds up to 9 in the coupling of its numbers according to 36. 1, 2, 3, 1, 5, 6. So it's not like a 5 and a 4, it's a 3 and a 6, which is your karmic number. So you have a karmic connection to this property. Now, in this property where you have a karmic connection, if we go to a past life, you had actually in this area a lifetime, a past life. In that past life, you had some kind of weird connection to a woodpecker.
Now, I don't know if you owned property back then or if you lived in the town back then, but you, if we were to take your past life and go back there, you had some sort of special natural connection to a woodpecker that maybe would come to visit you or nest in one of your trees, and you would feed it and just delight in it. But that comes from a past life with a bird. Now, does this area, does it command trees? Is there any natural setting around it?
Not that I know yet. I'm going to actually fly there and take a look at it. I mean, there's a couple things with it. Like the gal who's a manager, you know, when I did her birthday, my father's October 10th, and he used to have a store on Route 66 over in a whole different, you know, in California. But he had actually a store that he was really big on the Route 66 deal. And his birthday is 10-10, October 10th. And the manager is 9/29/1955, and her numbers are coming up 10-10-10-10. And I thought that was really weird. Yeah, that was 9/29/1955. So I get like a 10-10-10-10 out of it. And it's just so much connected to my dad who's not been with me.
Out of that. Her number is 9/11/11/21/30.
Well, the 9 plus 29, so I got 20 out of there, so that day and year.
Yeah, that's not how you would work with it, Carol. You're at the karmic side, 9, 10, 11 plus 9 is the 20 equals 2 on that side. And then
moving her year, 1955, so that gives me the 10, you know, that's 20 divided into 10, 10. I mean.
Okay, well, I mean, you're kind of in a way to look at the number.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys would do that. 9/29/1955. What numbers, you know?
30, 40. She's a 40 equals 4. She's a 40 equals 4. Yeah, she's a 40 equals 4. So anyway, in any case.
You know, I mean, the way you're approaching these numbers and looking at this is not really the way that it should be done.
What's your father's birthday, just so we can add that up? Right. It's
10/10/1939.
I know you've probably given it to us before, but I don't remember. So that's 2/12/12. He's a 24/6. So,
you know,
I don't see a real big link
that's
here.
That's not, you know, you're buying, you're going, you're flying, you're buying property. You're a person that loves to buy property, and you have a certain amount of properties under your name and whatnot that you own, or your silent partner, whatever. But this, you know, we're talking, we're also, to us on this show, we're talking about some kind of past life connection you have with this property.
And the land.
And the land
itself.
Specifically. Somewhere in some area of your personal life, I don't know where this is coming from yet, but there's a $2 million figure. I don't know yet how that factors into your current consciousness, but it does, it's starting to hit me as we're speaking, that figure on some level. Does that make any sense at this point?
I don't know, like adding things up, it seems to me that I'm getting rid of a lot of property. People are selling the notes and selling things, so I don't know that particular number, but I'd have to think about it. 2 million?
Yeah.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Maybe a net assets or something in the bank or the worth of, you know, what you might be getting from the sales, whatever it is.
Was there anybody in your family background that could have commanded that kind of
maybe father
asset?
No, they didn't. Like, nobody has had money in my family. Like,
I don't know.
Really at all. Unless, you know, unless that 2 million could be, you know, 200,000. If it, I don't know.
I don't know what it is yet. I don't know what it is.
I'm going to look.
You know, 2 million. I don't know what it is yet. You'd have to go in there and I guess do some investigation on your part and without misconstruing anything, see where that's coming from. But that is a figure.
I think that when I do this, if I remove my primary home, which I always remove, you know, my home that I live in and my kids live in, then that number would seem close. Yeah.
To your assets. So if you added your primary home, it's going to exceed 2 million. But if you subtract it, your assets are we talking about properties? I mean, I don't want to get too nosy here, but
yeah, just notes, you know, notes, properties, you know, maybe things that I sold to someone and they owe me money. Like I sold them a house for $150 and they're paying me over 20 years or, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah.
So you're talking properties, your net property value, we're excluding bank money from this figure. Okay.
So
right.
There's something in that bigger pool, that bigger ocean that has something to do with your energy field on a monetary value in this lifetime. So if we were to look at all that and come to a fair estimation of $2 million in that context, that might be leading to a different and more broader conception of what your journey is about this time around in terms of real estate, properties, and money. You know, which obviously there's more to be told than what we're saying here.
Maybe I'm going to be stuck maybe just in that number. I don't know, because like I said, people are letting go of things and I'm trying to reacquire things. So like if I, you know, was getting $990 on a house every month and they're selling the note now, I'm going to have that lump sum. So I try to put it somewhere else because I want the cash flow. You know, if you get money, it can just slip away. At least if you get payments every month, you can live on
yeah.
that.
You can. Yeah.
So okay.
Maybe
well,
I'll
we
be...
are. We'll go ahead.
No. That's it. So, yeah. So I don't know the tie there. I guess I'll have to just go and get a feel for it and see if it resonates. I just don't know. But
okay. Well, yeah. That looks like what you'll have to do. We are nearing the end of the show here. We're about to get our 90-second warning,
okay.
Cheryl, but hopefully
okay.
that's helpful.
All right. Thank you, guys. Okay. Have a great weekend. Or I'll see
you. Oh, I muted her too quickly. Sorry, Cheryl. Go ahead and finish what you were saying.
Oh, no. I said have a good weekend, but then I realized you're back on Friday. So.
Right. We're back on Friday.
Thank
okay,
you.
Okay. Well, take care. Good luck. And we are back on Friday. Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks to all of our callers, and we will speak with you then. Bye-bye.